Well, Adam, I've been complaining about forever about teachers exploiting students and doctors, patients. And now we have Congress people, you know, taking advantage of their staff. And this Katie Hill thing got me going.
I'll tell you, Drew.
Yeah, tell me.
You've always been very consistent.
On that one, right?
Yeah, like when, way back in the day, I'd go, what's wrong with people dating people they work with? You know, and you're like, oh, I don't like it. And I'd go, that's college for young people who are out of college, you know, and you didn't like it back then,
no.
20 some odd years ago.
I've always been, had an issue with, my fundamental philosophy always was big people take care of little people. People in authority take the authority, then don't take the authority position. That's fine. Stay in a general position and have at it with your peers. That's fine. But when you have a position of authority, your job is to hold the line, have a boundary. We talk about that. Now there's e-skimming, everybody. That's why it's a good thing there's a LifeLock. Cyber criminals watch online shopping carts to steal credit and debit card info, names, birth dates, passwords from the websites and mobile apps. They get at you. You need protection. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting your lives. We're all out there. We're using the convenience of the web. We like to buy things. Sometimes we're exposed. That's where it's good that we have LifeLock. And, of course, identity theft is another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You can miss certain identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Again, it's a good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like, say, your Social Security number for sale on the dark web. You'd never know that. But if they detect your information, they will send you alert. Good thing there's LifeLock, right, Matt?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. Join LifeLock now and get an extra 10% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam, get an extra 10% off.
The holidays are around the corner. It's time to drink too much, eat too much, and fight about Trump at the dinner table. Luckily, we've got just what you need to make the most of this most wonderful time of the year. Introducing the Corolla Christmas Stocking. The custom embroidered stocking is adorned with the hand-knit word, acehole, sewed on by talented elves and or children from the Orient. What's inside? Glad you asked. With your purchase of the Corolla Christmas Stocking, you'll get an ACS Nativity Scene t-shirt featuring Max Apata as Baby Jesus and Adam as Mother Mary, a custom Happy Birthday Jesus ornament, 4 Corolla Drinks wine glasses, plus 2 bottles of your choice, all for only $99. And for those who want to go big for the holiday season, you can also purchase the Stocking Scrapbook Combo for only $175. Get the stocking and the 10 years of ACS scrapbook, signed by the entire network for the ultimate Corolla fan in your life. So get to CorollaDrinks.com today and get ready. The holidays are coming.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for month 7 of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month's shipment includes a recording of Adam breaking down Adam's 12 favorite songs of all time, a jar of coffee booster, perfect for filling you up in the AM so you don't eat the donuts that asshole brought into the office, Heavenly Kettle Corn, the most delicious kettle corn in the known universe. Seriously, we've eaten a concerning amount of it at the studio. Bottle of Mangria or 33 wine, and a custom silver Mangria flask for the aforementioned booze. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, got to get on. Children come on. Man, they get on. Dr. Drew is certified with a specialist. Mm-hmm. I want to thank LifeLock, promo code Adam, and Manscaped.com, promo code ADS, for sponsoring this program. What you think about, Drew?
I was thinking about taking some calls. We'll get to those in a second. The other thing, we were playing some Bill Maher last show, Did you see when he asked Ronan Farrow if he was Frank Sinatra's son?
Yeah, I did.
He said, "You do have a mirror, don't you? You do not look like Woody Allen." Well, he actually had a pretty good comeback. He said, "Did you ask? Go ahead and ask my mom."
Uh-huh.
Kind of funny.
It did. Well, first off, I had a weird little revelation. He must hate Woody Allen because his name is Satchel.
Hmm.
And I think Woody named him Satchel after Satchel Paige. So the world's whitest person is named after the world's blackest person, which I thought was funny. But also, usually, Woody Allen would have been – Woody Allen named him Satchel.
Yeah.
And I don't know the whole deal, but – when somebody names you something and then you reject it and go with another name, you take your mom's last name, usually it's not a tip of the cap to the old man.
It's not an embrace. Not an endorsement.
Not an endorsement.
No.
I told people that listen to ACS, when my sister Lauren started spelling her name with a Y, that was a shots fired over my dad's bow.
I'm surprised you didn't change your last name and your first name.
Born Satchel Ronan O'Sullivan Farrow. Well, why wasn't he Woody Allen?
I don't know why his last name wasn't Allen. I'll look into it, but that is how it is listed on Wikipedia.
And because they weren't married or something? They're just living together? Probably.
Mia Farrow had lots of weird ideas, and she maybe wouldn't allow him to be called. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
He was given the surname Farrow to avoid a family with one child named Allen amid Farrows and Pervins.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean?
All right. But Satchel, I feel like it's a Woody.
Yeah.
Woody given name. And so he's with Ronan. So I was like sitting around going, I thought there was a Satchel. What happened to Satchel? I didn't know it was the same guy.
Oh, wow.
I don't think anyone knew it was the same guy. But I remember long enough ago to go, Woody Allen has a kid named Satchel. Where is he?
Wow.
He is here. He's Ronan.
Smart dude, Ronan. Very smart dude.
He's certainly dogged, and he's certainly, blowing the lid off.
I'm inclined to listen to him. He may not always be right, like anybody, but he deserves attention when he opines.
Well, he's getting attention. Yeah. That's for sure. And it kind of goes. It always like this whole like NBC and Matt Lauer and all this stuff. It's all so predictable. It's just sort of people want money. They want to keep making money. They just want to keep up. They want a status quo.
You're talking about the businesses?
Yeah, I'm saying everyone tries to do this kind of good or this bad or this good and bad. You know, it's not really that. It's just they just want to be, it's the NBA in China. You know, they just want money. They don't want to get into
it. South Park did the greatest thing on this.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
I didn't, but I heard about it.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, well,
Randy goes to China to sell his marijuana because he's running out of business, sales opportunity here. And he gets on the plane, and on the plane are all the superheroes for the movies and all the NBA players. And he goes, hey, you guys like Chinese money too.
Right. Yeah, very true. It's
really funny.
I don't know what Ronan's latest is, but he's out looking. Watch out, fellas. And
to this point, you've been how many years you've been hearing me complaining about teachers who exploit their students, doctors who exploit their patients. You know, that's a big hot
button. You don't like it. Not
hot button for me. And so when Bill Clinton exploited the lowest person on his employment staff, Monica Lewinsky, I really have a problem when people in managerial positions exploit people beneath them. And I had an interesting conversation where I was talking about that woman in Congress who had exploited not one but two of her male staffers. Two. And let's be clear. You can be a woman and exploit your male people for whom you're responsible.
There were female staffers.
Two males.
Oh, two males.
And same as males can exploit – or male males or female female. It doesn't matter. It's person in authority is responsible for the people underneath. They must hold their boundaries. No exceptions. And it's funny. I brought that up with somebody and they go, oh, it's terrible that we're taking aim at that young woman just because of revenge porn. I go, no. It's – she miscarried her job really criminally, in my opinion. But okay, if we don't pursue it. But It's not okay. Oh, it's just because we have the same thing in the White House, and now you're taking aim at that poor young woman. I thought, no, I'm talking about people in authority taking care of the people they're responsible for. Could not be heard. Couldn't hear it.
Well, my feeling—
because I've been complaining for years about that, right? You've heard me mention that a million times.
Very consistent.
Yeah. All right.
Look, I had this discussion slash argument with somebody once, which was to say, look, if you're going to poo-poo Bill O'Reilly and whatever he was up to, then you're also going to have to poo-poo David Letterman for having sex with underlings in his office.
Yeah, like,
that was different. That was a consulting, consenting adult. That's a different situation. It's just bad. Just admit they're both wrong, would you please?
Yeah.
And this bitch.
There can be more wrong. I'll grant you that.
All right. But this bitch, I don't know what O'Reilly did. I do know what Letterman did. And let's just call it both wrong. This bitch went out and did this and then made herself into some sort of victim with some sort of social justice warrior or something. That's the part I don't like. Mm-hmm. You did something that was inappropriate. I'm not uptight. You just did something that you would never tolerate from the other side of the aisle if it was a male ever.
Or a teacher or a doctor.
Especially if they were on the other side of the political aisle from you, you would go nuts over it. Now you've been caught doing it. Fine. Step down. Don't turn it into a hate crime and then step down or talk about how because I'm a woman, you know, it's such a weird, weak card to play in 2019.
It's a strong card now, though.
I know, but it's as I've said, it's like the thing. Here's the card, and here's what I don't like about the card, and here's what I don't think these people understand about the card. Beto O'Rourke is talking about. In Texas, you know, kindergartners of color are five times more likely to be disabled. Okay, you're calling teachers, you're calling kindergarten teachers in Texas racist, Beto. Yeah. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Who do you think, who's running the kindergarten, the Klan? You're calling 33-year-old women who work with children racist. That's what you're doing by saying they're five times. Who's disciplining them? Who's sending them to the principal's office? Who's sending them home? It has to be their teacher. The kindergarten, you're calling kindergarten teachers overwhelmingly female racist. Okay. Kamala Harris, you're saying that this country's not ready for a black woman of color to. Okay. You're calling Democratic voters racist, not Republicans, Democrats. You can't make it through the primaries. You're talking about
your constituency
who all voted for President Obama, and you're calling them basically racist. Do the math on your own stupid, sort of ill-conceived statement. The group that voted in President Obama is now racist against you because you're female. The group that voted overwhelmingly for, well, not overwhelmingly, 100% for Clinton or for Hillary Clinton, she won the popular vote. So there was a black president for two terms, and then a woman won the popular vote after the black president. And it's from the Democratic voters. They're not progressive enough to vote for you who are a combination of those two things? Really? Is that what you're saying? And Beto, you're out because the kindergarten teachers are racist. Why don't you just say you're not very good at what you're trying, whatever message you're trying to get. Maybe this is part of the problem. Maybe the reason Beto's out and Kamala Harris is out is because of this gene they have of blaming others or saying, I want to hear some policy.
Do you think it's the same as a basket of deplorables? Sort of a same kind of rhetorical move?
I will tell you that talking about how bad the other person or the other side is really not a way, it's not a path to victory. It's like when I see You see, if you see the New England Patriots, they're up by 31 points. It's third and four. They're passing. They don't. They're not taking a knee. I'll tell you the one thing the Patriots do. The other teams and you know third and 12. They're not in prevent. They're blitzing. That quarterback can barely get the ball off.
I didn't see the rest of the game yesterday. They went.
They did lose. Oh. All right, bad example. My point is the other week. But the point is this, last week. The reason they are win with the percentage they win is because they're sort of always on the offense. Meaning, I want to hear a politician, I want them telling me what the plan is, what's coming up, what they want to do, what they...
We've sort of gone into a world where facts don't matter. Nobody listens.
I get it.
Persuasion is rules of the day.
I don't want to hear Beto complaining about kindergarten teachers in Texas. I want to hear why and how. I want solutions.
Yeah.
Just keep explaining that America's not ready. America's ready for everything. We have Dennis Rodman. We'll take anything. We'll see anything. We'll do anything. America's not ready. 2019, it's just cop-out. And by the way, hey, senator or councilwoman or whoever it is, you were screwing around with a couple of underlings and you got busted.
Yeah.
Don't put that on America. There's ways to avoid that.
Don't do it.
Yes, and then when
especially when you're in a leadership position.
And by the way, and the stuff you would be outraged by, yeah. you know what I mean? You're not running, you know, Hustler magazine. You're
but again, so much of the positioning of people is, hey, you don't get to do that. I'm the good guy. I'll do whatever I want, but you don't do it. You're a bad guy, isn't it? That's I think that's what got Trump in the office, was that feeling that everyone's telling me I'm a bad guy, and then they're doing whatever the fuck they want.
Right. Yeah. My point is, as I've always said. NBA, China, whatever. Just spare me the lecture part. That's all. Do what you're going to do. People have foibles. I get it. People get caught. People screw around. They do all that stuff. Just don't give me your morality lecture exactly. And then go do it yourself. That's all. And then when you do get busted, don't double down on it and give me, this is only because I'm, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a weird, weak, it's a sort of sad explanation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it carries the day these days.
I know. I feel bad for people who believe in it. Nathaniel, 40, Michigan.
Yo.
What's going on?
Yay. I got a couple of things I want to say about I've experienced a lot of racism. When I went to China, you know, in 1990, you know, I was a 6 foot tall white man, and then we walked around in Tiananmen Square, and I can tell you that every Chinese man that I saw hated me. And then they wanted to pay money to the big fat black guy, you know, to have their picture taken with them. So, you know, I experienced that.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about what's his name?
No, no. I was in an orchestra.
Oh, but you're not talking about Bob. What's his name?
This is a long time ago. You know, but I can tell you what. Like, as far as racism goes, you know, like that country. You know, when you go there.
Oh well, hold on a second, Drew. I do want to talk about this. God's honest. Who's in the Gang of Four? A Bob Sapp, yeah.
Pelosi, hold on, I'll pull it up.
You take AOC and...
Yeah. They're the Gang of Four, yeah. Whatever. Let's be honest here.
Gang of Four is an 80s band, I think.
Oh. Give me who's in the Flock of Seagulls?
Haircut 100.
Do you mean I'm sorry, are you talking
AOC
about...
AOC and Omar.
Where are they calling them?
I think it's the Gang of Eight.
The band?
I think it's just the squad.
The squad. Well, whatever. Come on, Gary. AOC, that group. I don't even know what Kamala Harris is. I don't look at her as something. I look at her as an attractive middle-aged woman. Yes. Do you know? I mean, does she look dramatically different than Nancy Pelosi? You know what I mean? Like, do they? Well, what I mean, yeah, one's a little older, but what I'm saying is The people's race, like they do that. Like, I'm a woman of color. You are? Well, like, I didn't know. Like, okay. You know, like when Roseanne was saying, I didn't know the bitch was black or whatever she's saying. I believe her. I don't think she. I don't know who's what anymore.
So, when anthropologists and sociologists look at these things, they will predominantly determine that race is a social construct.
Yes.
To talk about it. To talk about it in genetic terms almost doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, pull up Rashida Tlaib. Like, she's like, as a black woman, as a woman of color, I'm like, she doesn't strikes me as like one of my mom's friends. Like, I don't know what she is. I don't think people would know what she was, like walking down the street. I don't know that you'd go, well, let's discriminate against this person because I wouldn't know what the person was.
You'd sort of go average American.
That's what she looks like to me. She looks like one of my kids' friends' moms who would come pick them up from the house.
Yeah.
Just like, we're not ready for a woman of color to blah, 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 blah. Do you know what she is?
No.
She doesn't look like – I mean, good luck discriminating against her because she's going to slide under the radar.
But let me just make a quick point, though. And so when you say something's a social construct, do you mean – and therefore has no pertinence or therefore should be changed? People have to – when they say it's a social construct like gender, they usually mean and therefore we have to address it and change it. But even if it's – whether it's social or genetic, it's something. But the reason I keep pounding on you about history is consider this. Let's say two males of African descent from the same region of Africa. One is African and one is American.
Mm-hmm.
One comes from a family that's been in America, was brought to America during slavery. The other is an African man that didn't interact with any of that phenomenon throughout their history in that continent. They would identify as different.
Mm-hmm.
And so the history, I think –
well, hopefully
it would. It's why I keep hammering on the history part because history is more important than I think we realize. That's why I keep bringing it up. So I'm just giving that as a case in point. That's all.
Okay.
Right. I don't know. Well, you beat the shit out of me last time. Week for a couple of days before.
It's just, you don't, it's like you have to keep doing that thing.
Well, I'm sorry. I think it's important. Anyway.
Well, let me tell you about Manscaped. Support for the Adam and Drew Show comes from Manscaped. Number one in men's below the belt grooming, precision engineer tools for the family jewels.
Ooh.
Like the way that flows?
Yeah.
Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Their lawnmower 2.0 has a proprietary skin-safe technology. Will not nick or snag the nut sack down there, so you can do it with impunity.
So it's for the huevos.
For the huevos.
Huh.
Do not use the same trimmer you use on your face as you use down there in the ball sack. Come on, you want that?
No.
No, you want to be wearing nut sack cologne? I don't think so. That's nasty, and you can get 20% off, free shipping, and you just use the code ADS, manscaped.com. That's 20% off, plus shipping, plus free shipping. Free shipping, manscaped.com. With the code ADS, your balls will thank you, 20% off, and get the good stuff. And don't use the stuff you use on your sideburns, on your nutsack. All right, Drew, what calls?
I'll go back to calls. Before we do, though, you shocked me the other day when you called me on a Wednesday night. I was in New York at an Italian restaurant thinking of you in Little Italy because you would have loved this place. But I was like, what, a Wednesday night, not a Sunday afternoon?
Everything okay? I was walking Phil.
Yeah.
Whenever I walk Phil.
You go through the call chain.
I'll get to Drew. I usually talk to someone before I talk to Drew. But I was traveling, I was working.
Whatever it was, around. It was like, huh? What? Wednesday afternoon?
Well, Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. Right. But just after I've been thinking about you and Jimmy and what the San Gennaro would be like in Little Italy, New York.
So sad. I was looking at driving through L.A., you know. We have Little Ethiopia. We have Little Armenia. No Little Italy. Mm. Is that all you need to know about Los Angeles?
Yeah. What's different?
No Little Italy, Little Saigon. Come on. Well, what's going on? I mean, is that all you need to know about a city? We got barbed wire around the freeway signs and no Little Italy.
I blew my wife's mind with that on the way up to Laughs with Paul Bryan. As we drove by the Little Ethiopia sign, I was like, you know, there's no Little Italy. She couldn't believe it. She was outraged.
It's an outrage. Yeah. It's an outrage. Everyone, every town needs a Little Italy. That you don't need a Little Ethiopia. That's, believe me, you can, if you want to just eat food with your hands at home, you'll be fine.
Let's chain off Dantana.
Sit on the floor.
Make that Little Italy.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Well, who are we talking to?
Nathaniel.
Oh, Nathaniel. Sorry.
Yo.
Go ahead, Nathaniel.
What are we talking about now? Are we talking about Ethiopia?
Well, we're done. Right.
Whatever. Just call with a question. Let's ask Drew about in vitro fertilization process.
Okay. Go ahead, you should Glenn. Know about it, too.
Probably do.
Glenn?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi, Guy.
Big fan of you guys. Listen to you every single morning. Appreciate everything you guys are doing.
Thank you. What's up?
Yeah. So my wife and I had been trying to get pregnant for a little over 2 years, and it's not working out. We've been to a couple fertility clinics and things like that, and it's basically been determined at this point that the issue is with my wife's fallopian tubes. Okay. The egg does not actually get into the ovary, so there's no opportunity for fertilization. So I guess my kind of three-part question for Dr. Drew, are there any developmental issues associated with in vitro fertilization? And if so, or I guess, is there any association with, if there is, does age play a role? And what age would be kind of the cutoff for where it kind of, you know, is more likely to go awry, I guess?
So age plays a role in everything, right? The aging sperm, mm-hmm. the aging eggs more the issue, and it's sort of their fragility, their genetic fragility more than anything. And as you, because the chromosome fragility is part of the thing, there's an increased risk for things like Down syndrome as you age, right? And for men, there's some theory that there might be an increased risk for autistic spectrum disorders, though that's not been well established. Beyond that, dealing with the fallopian tube dysfunction is an easy fix. Do the in vitro. Why not? Is there some problem with the viability of the fertilized eggs or the eggs themselves?
No, as far as we know, it's just the tubes. If we do the in vitro, you can jump right over according to our doctor, there shouldn't be an issue. I know it's not 100% success rate, of course, in general, but the fallopian tube seemed to be the only issue.
Right. So that was our issue, and we ended up with triplets. Was yours? Do you know what the issue was?
I blame Lynette.
It was her problem. Okay.
I don't know.
And again, you end up with twins. And in terms of what it means to mix sperm and egg in a petri dish as opposed to those sperm swimming, you know, all the way to the destination up by the ovary. Yeah, probably in terms of evolution, probably has some impact, but nothing measurable that I would say.
Yeah. Sonny's not really a go-getter.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Let's talk to Chad, 25, from Houston. Chad?
Hey, guys. Hope all's well. Just wanted to call and sit and ask if you guys saw the President of the United States chest fondle the Washington Nationals pitcher today at the White House.
It was the catcher, wasn't it?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, catcher. Sorry. Yeah.
I did. Here it is. There's a video of it.
He chest fondled him?
It was very funny. And I thought to myself,
now, what's funny?
Here's what they need to do is much the way they – have that look at that. There it is. The image of the dog getting the Medal of Honor. You could see people taking that image and putting a female, photoshopping a female into that pose, and you'd have some pretty funny memes on your hand.
What was he doing?
Yeah, they've also been photoshopping him on the Titanic. That's a pretty good meme as well.
When Trump called him to the lectern, he pulled out a Make America Great Again hat, so I think Trump was excited.
Yeah,
it was
hugging.
It was like a surprise, so Trump was very excited.
I wanted to ask you guys about that because I've seen a lot of people on social media today going after a couple of these Nationals players because they were showing support for the president and saying, how dare them, you know. But what's funny is, you know, that's just commonplace in America, to, you know, for people to accept Hollywood and their bullshit ideas. And, you know, we don't really, you know, make a fuss when they, you know, impose their batshit insane stuff on us. But it's when three Nationals players want to support the president, it's like, oh, what the hell, you know?
I've got to tell you, it is an issue, and it's something that I definitely think about a lot, which is, but I'll kind of tell you what's behind it, Chad, and how it works.
Before you do it, do you mean disparaging the office or disparaging the man, or do you still
all of it, but yeah. Really the issue I'm talking about is you're a Pittsburgh fan and I'm a Ravens fan. Why do the Pittsburghs have to be evil? You know, or the Ravens have to be evil? Why can't you just have a fan and you root for your team and I hope they beat your team. We can watch a game together, you know? Yeah. And I realize when you make something or somebody, you can do it with a man or you can do it with a corporation or you could do it with Donald Trump or you can do it with Chick-fil-A. Just make them evil. And then once you make them evil, then you can do what you want to do, which is you want to discriminate. So what you're saying is, you know, Dennis Prager was not a fan of President Obama and his policies, but he wasn't disrespectful to him. He wasn't a fan of his policies. Mm-hmm. But if he had made him into an evil man, then he could do what he wanted to do, although he has too much dignity, which is be disrespectful to him. Because here's what it is. It's all chick think. Hollywood is a bunch of chicks. It's chick think, which is like, your guy wins one year, that guy wins the next year, his guy wins the next year. It kind of just goes back and forth. And the rule, the unspoken rule is you have to kind of shut up and eat it when the other guy's team
gets,
like, Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl every year, beat the Rams, and didn't score a point. I have to shut up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't call him evil. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like he won. Let him hoist a Lombardi. That's how it goes. Okay. But inside of me is a 5-year-old that wants to lash out against Tom Brady. But I also realize that's not playing by the rules. And
also not an adult doesn't do that.
And then the year my guy won, you guys didn't lash out against Kurt Warner. So how do I justify this? Tom Brady's a Nazi. Now I get to say whatever I want about him.
Right.
Understand?
Yes.
I want to do this anyway, but dignity would prevent me, but not if he's a Nazi.
That's the way children think.
Right.
So when you get angry at somebody, they're a bad person.
Where do you think all the Nazi talk comes from? Mm. I'd like to do this. Now, Trump makes it easy, right? Does a lot of goofball things, says a lot of goofball things, says a bunch of tweets and stuff like that. So he makes it easy. But if you really, that's not what it is. It's, I hate that guy. I don't want to act like a 5-year-old, but I can act like a 5-year-old if I label him this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how did Trump make it from, you know, 0 to 70 without him ever being called a racist or not being a racist? You know, now he's a racist. Or, by the way, he wasn't racist. He was a racist when the Mueller report didn't find anything. Then he became the leader of the Aryan Nation, and then they got this Ukraine thing. He's back to that. You know, it's like, how's that happen? It doesn't. I've never heard anything in the past. You know, there are people like, fall. You can call him anything you want. I'm saying, why are you calling him a racist? When did that come? Well, you want to say bad things about the guy.
Right.
And it seems undignified to do it. And again, the folks who disagreed with President Obama didn't, by and large, say disrespectful things about him. By the way, you really didn't want to do that. You'd be called a racist. So people kind of...
They'd say unfair things, but not disrespectful. It's different.
What's that mean?
Well, accuse him of things, like the birther thing, stuff like that. I mean, stuff that just,
but
like, come
not,
on.
Not in any, not in not, any real...
Yeah.
It's not like... It's not en masse.
Yeah.
That wasn't a... It was like... Also, the difference between, like, oh, this guy, you know, somebody stood up and shouted, you lie, you know, during a whatever. And then the guy apologized and they moved on. This wasn't en masse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. All right, go ahead.
LifeLock, everybody. There is something called e-skimming. Cyber criminals watch online shopping carts to steal credit cards and debt card info, names, birth dates, and passwords from websites and mobile apps. They just e-skim it along. It's easy. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. We love the convenience of the internet. We love spending money on the web, but we have to have some way to protect ourselves. Identity theft, yet another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You can miss certain identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. That's why it's a good thing there is LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like, say, your social security number for stale on the dark web. They will pick it up. If they detect your information, they will send you an alert. Good thing there is LifeLock, right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. Join LifeLock now and get an extra 10% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam. Get an extra 10% off.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You're working on a new book?
Yeah, I am. I'm working on a new book.
What's it? Give us the theme. Can you?
It's kind of a follow-up to In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks.
So it's how that was accelerated and became true?
Yeah, I just go after everybody and everything, and it's very on brand. It's not... No, not a lot of quiet reflection going on in there. It's just me going after all these companies and all the goddamn commercials and just everything.
Oh, the commercials full of love and fairy dust.
It's just like Subaru makes cars filled with puppies, but they also have a branch that makes attack helicopters for the Japanese army. You know, missile platforms and attack helicopters. So yeah, well, just spare me the puppies, would you please? And the people are dumb enough to go, they go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, that guy, those guys like puppies. Yeah, well, they also like attack helicopters. So, what? I want to call it, I never knew adults would be this stupid.
That's
adults
good.
Adults are dumb.
My God,
are adults
dumb. On the Dr. Drew podcast, I'm going to speak to a cognitive psychologist, and that's one of my, she's an educational specialist. That's one of my questions.
Like, what has happened to this? What happened to
what
adults?
What happened to us, yeah.
That's, I mean, well, Jesus Christ. It's
we'll look for
nuts.
That podcast coming up soon.
Yeah. All right. We'll look for that. You look for Crank Yankers on Wednesdays on Comedy Central. No Safe Spaces, available now at nosafespaces.com. Find a theater near you. Go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows, Drew.
DrDrew.com, all the family pods there. And also, don't forget to check out... DrDrew.tv, sign up there, and I'll send you a blast when I'm doing the live show on the weekends if you ask questions.
And check out Adulting Like a Mother Father on Podcast One. Until next time, I'm with Dr. Drew. Say, mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.